Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. And we are very pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts. Dan, thanks so much for taking time to join us. Joe Rex Road has been a lifelong fan of yours, and this is a real pleasure to have you on our show here.
Well, Joe's a wise guy, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks, Dan. It is great to talk to you. So I want to give you the backstory here because you have been on our air a lot the last few weeks.
Yeah.
We've had texts, calls, tweets. So I'm going to give you the quick backstory. I've sort of argued against Tom Brady is the GOAT period for a few years. Like I think he's one of the greatest of all time. I don't necessarily think that number of rings, I think quarterback wins. I'd like to get your take on all these things, by the way, that wins and rings are a little bit maybe overestimated when we're talking about quarterback evaluation. But as we went through, I said, let's talk about John Elway. Let's talk about Montana Marino.
Yep.
Dan Fouts, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Now, some listeners then said, oh, you said Dan Fouts is better than Tom Brady. And by the way, if you think you are, Dan, I welcome that comment. But regardless, I brought you into the conversation, and so now it's been this running conversation with listeners throwing you back in my face. So anyway, you are one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I think we need to educate people a little bit about that.
Well, it really comes down to who your favorite is, and it really, in each era, for so long, the guy was Johnny Unitas. But you also had Bart Starr in there, who won 5 NFL titles in a row. And before that, you had Otto Graham. So if you just go back through the history of the NFL, you'll find that in every, maybe a decade or two decades, there's one guy that stands out. And then, in this era right now, it is Tom Brady. But not too long ago, it was Joe Montana. And before that, you can argue about just about anybody. But it boils down to who's your favorite and then what kind of argument can you build. And when you start building, you start with Super Bowl trophies. And if that's the case, then Brady, I think his numbers will never, ever be touched. But I thought that about Bart Starr winning 5 NFL titles in a row as well.
And Dan, it's interesting. Like you go back and look at the numbers that you put up. And obviously, it's a different era in the NFL. But, I mean, you're talking about 500, 600 passing attempts in a season, doing things that we had never seen before at the NFL level. Do you think the way that you guys ran the offense and the way that you played quarterback helped kind of change the game and transition to what we're seeing today? And that is obviously the passing game, maybe with more importance than we've ever seen it before.
Yeah, no question. And it's on both sides of the ball because to defend 4 and 5 wide receivers, you got to put in extra defensive backs and you better have a good pass rusher on the blind side. So defensively, the game has been changed as well. But what Don Coryell did for every coach in the NFL is to show them that you can move the ball, you can win games by throwing the ball. And I think the perfect example of that is once Don Shula got Dan Marino, the Dolphins changed from a power running game, with Zonka and Kick and Mercury Morris and Bob Greasy as their quarterback. When Greasy threw, 7 passes in the Super Bowl, and now you're throwing Dan Marino in there with the Dupers and the Claytons, and now he's throwing for 5,000 yards. So that example set by Coryell that you can be effective and win games by throwing the ball obviously has been adopted by every coach in the league now.
Yeah, Air Coryell was amazing. So to go back on the fandom part of this, Dan, as a young child in Michigan, I would be forced during the 1 o'clock window to watch the Detroit Lions lose to Lynn Dickey and the Packers. And then at 4 o'clock, I'd get Raiders, Chargers, Air Coryell, Dan Fouts throwing to, to Charlie Joyner and Wes Chandler and Ken Alonso was the most, it was by far the most entertaining brand of football being played. You brought up the Dolphins for people of a certain age. I think a lot of people will remember that playoff win you guys had over them, the 81 team, and then you go to Cincinnati. And I've always contended that team, that 1981 Chargers team, should have won it all. Obviously a tough day in Cincinnati. How much of that was Cincinnati's defense? Hank Bulla, Dr. Defense, and how much of it was like negative a million temps that day?
Well, let's just say that the Bengals played better than we did, and they handled the conditions better than we did. It was pretty brutal, but it was brutal for both sides. And yeah, my counterpart on the Bengals, Kenny Anderson, he played a great game, and I have to hand it to him, and he got his team to the Super Bowl. So, you know, you play the game, you try to win, regardless of what the conditions were. But if we had played better during the regular season, we would have had the home field advantage in San Diego. And just a side note, the next year we did play the Bengals in San Diego with basically the same cast, and it was a Monday night game, and it was a high-scoring affair where we beat them. I think it was 50-34. So that's really apples to oranges there, because we're talking about two different years and two different climates.
Was that your? Did you think that was your best chance, that 81 team, your best team?
Well, yeah, I think so. You know, especially after beating Miami down there, we felt confident. We had a good week of practice. And that's one thing that people overlook when they say, well, teams from the West Coast have a disadvantage when they travel east late in the year because of the weather. But as far as preparation is concerned, we get our regular practices in because our weather's perfect. So we were prepared for just about anything except perhaps Mother Nature.
Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Dan, you brought up Tom Brady, and to watch what he's doing at his age, 43 years old, he's going to his 10th Super Bowl, an opportunity to win his 7th ring. What do you see when you watch Brady play at his age at 43, and how impressive is it that in his first year he's gotten Tampa Bay to this point?
It is, you know, almost beyond words. You know, you hear all the adjectives for his play, and they're all true. He's just so consistent. He's so economical in the way he plays the game, and he's smart. He knows where to go with the ball before the ball snapped, and he usually has, you know, he's still got, you know, watch him throw the ball over the middle when he's got to squeeze it into a tight space. He still has the power to do that, and that to me is one of the most remarkable things, because, you know, obviously at 43, you're going to start to lose something, and usually it comes off the fastball.
Yeah, and you know, Tom is, of course, it well documented, Dan, you know, kale salads and, you know, sleeping for 14 hours, things like that. How different are things in that way from your time? I know, obviously, we can go back to George Blanda. There's a guy who played forever, but you know, the longevity, especially at this position, but just the emphasis on nutrition and things like that that extend careers. How different is that from when you played?
Kind of like night and day, really. I mean, the thing about, you know, just not Tom, but all these athletes have their personal trainers and dietitians and chefs and all these things, because they're making, you know, have to afford all that. The one thing a lot of the players from my era have that a guy like Brady or Rodgers or you name it, Breeze, what we have basically now in our lives are bills. These guys will never have bills.
Dan, we talked about Tom Brady, and then you look ahead to the other side of this matchup coming up in the Super Bowl in Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I've watched a lot of quarterbacks play, as I know you have as well. Physically, I mean, Patrick Mahomes can do some things that I'm not quite sure I've ever seen before. What do you see when you watch Mahomes play? And in terms of the quarterbacks that you've seen and just their physical abilities, where does he rank?
Well, I think he's the most unique quarterback. Him and, you know, Aaron Rodgers have the ability to throw, you know, the impossible pass off balance. And I think that's what makes Mahomes so unique. The other thing is he's throwing to some guys that are usually pretty wide open because they're so fast. Mahomes is a superior athlete, and you can tell by the way that, you know, he positions his body to get the ball out of his hands. The thing that, you know, you hear a lot about a lot of these young quarterbacks is that they have baseball backgrounds. You know, Russell Wilson, for one, also very athletic and can throw off balance with just a flick of the wrist. So I think that the baseball background, especially guys that maybe played shortstop or the infield, where they have to throw under pressure without getting set a lot. That's what we're seeing a lot out of Mahomes.
So So, Dan, you mentioned Dan Marino earlier. I always thought that you and Dan Marino were similar in skill set. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like to know your who's the 2020s comp for Dan Fouts in the NFL?
There is none because they're all so much more athletic and more fun to watch. I appreciate the compliment being compared to Marino. I always admired Dan and how he threw the ball and his style and everything. But comparing players, I would never insult anybody in today's game by comparing themselves to me.
You weren't exactly Fran Tarkenton out there.
Well, and he wasn't Dan Fouts. So there.
There you go.
Dan, last thing for you here. As you look at younger quarterbacks around the league now, I mean, it almost seems like teams are giving up on some of them earlier than we've ever seen. I mean, Josh Rosen barely got a sniff in the league. There's already talk in Miami about maybe moving on from Tua at this point after 1 year. What are your advice to these teams and these younger quarterbacks on how to handle maybe quarterbacks not being immediately ready for the NFL when it seems like in today's day and age, having quarterbacks sit is just not the thing to do anymore?
Well, we're so impatient as a society. We want things to be fixed immediately. And usually when a quarterback's drafted number one, it means he's going to a team that doesn't have a quarterback and it's not very good. So there's an adjustment period there and a learning period. It's almost better that, as you said, a quarterback should sit and watch and learn that way. But owners are paying these guys a gazillion dollars. They want to see a return on their investment. The fans are hungry for the redeemer, if you will. And so that's the situation you find yourselves in. It's a tough position. In your 12th year, it's a tough position. In your sixth year, it's tough as a rookie. And there's no other way of putting it. It's either, sink or swim. But a lot of times the owners and the fans are pushing the guys in the deep end before, they can swim.
Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. Dan, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us.
Thanks for having me on, guys, and take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, I know that was a thrill for you, getting Dan Fouts on the program.
The real GOAT, Dan Fouts. You know, it was great to get Dan on there, and I think I was like, hey, you weren't exactly Fran Tarkenton. Anybody who watched Dan Fouts, he was not exactly the most mobile of quarterbacks.
Correct.
I liked he kind of fired back. He wasn't me either.
No, he didn't Fran say Tarkenton wasn't me.
Fran Tarkenton was not Dan Fouts. That's right.
He wasn't Dan Fouts. The third person there was legendary. I probably should have just let the interview in there.
Yeah.
I had my little follow-up. I probably just said, you know what? That's a mic drop moment.
Dan Fouts is getting upset.
Don't want that to happen.
Don't taunt Dan Fouts. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Good sport. And, man, those 81 Chargers, they would have won it all. They would have beat Montana and the Niners in good conditions in the Pontiac Silverdome. But the freaking Bengals, negative a million degrees before you were ever born, Cincinnati guy. Ridiculous.
Too bad. I was born, too.
It's too bad. Well, I know. But, I mean, that's the poorest hometown. I know.
But I'm not a Bengals guy.
No, I know.
But it is your hometown.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Proud of it.
That was a lucky garbage Super Bowl for the Bengals.
But Dan Fouts, obviously, I mean, a very important figure in your life growing up watching football.
Yeah.
You enjoyed watching him play. Young Joe Rexroad was smitten by all the passing yards and the offense that took place there. And is it fair to say one of the reasons you fell in love with football at a very early age?
Yeah, I mean, I loved the Lions as a kid, and Billy Sims in particular, great running back who would have been one of the greatest at that position, if not for like ACLs in the 80s ending your career. But still, Lions games and most games in the NFL, I mean, seriously, like there was passing, but watching Air Coryell, Fouts, Muncy, Joyner, Winslow, it was like watching a different sport. And so for people who remember that
It was just way more fun. So, yeah, that was one of those things as a kid that really got me into it.
So with that in mind, what were some teams or some players that either affected you early on in your childhood or maybe a little bit later in life that got you to fall in love with sports? You know, Joe's just thrown out Dan Fouts. I've got a few examples that I'll get to here in just a minute. But what are those examples of teams or athletes that made you fall in love with sports and have made it the passion that you have now for sports? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've had some new numbers the last few days on our text line. We appreciate that. Appreciate the participation. If you've never texted us before, give it a shot. We'd love to connect with you on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. For me, it's interesting because I grew up here, and I've lived in Nashville and the surrounding area my entire life. So, I was six when the Predators played their first game here, the Titans game
Good
the
God,
year after
really?
That. Yeah, I was 6 years old. How does that make you feel?
God. All right, carry on.
I was six when they played their first game here. The Titans came the year after that as the Titans. They were here as the Tennessee Oilers. But the first year, the magical run to the Super Bowl. And that was what made me fall in love with professional football. I liked watching Tennessee play. One of my earliest sports memories is watching Tennessee win the national championship against Florida State. I had a splinter in my foot at the age of five. So I remember that combo of the joy I had of Tennessee winning the championship game, and I ran around and got a splinter in my foot that night. Just wow. A random, I don't know why I remember that, but that's the random memory that I have from that national title game.
The maybe joy and pain of sports.
Maybe the splinter in the foot was what was to come being a Tennessee fan. Little foreshadowing there.
Enjoy it now, but here you go.
Here you go. For the next 20 years, here's what you have to deal with. So that was obviously important, but watching Eddie George and Steve McNair as a youngster and just how special those runs were here in Nashville. I mean, you couldn't help but root for that team and fall in love with football that way. And then hockey-wise, watching the Predators come in from the ground up, I got introduced to hockey through the Mighty Ducks movie. So I loved watching those, played some N64 games that I loved. And then the Predators came to town, and I fell in love with hockey immediately. They got to a place where, Cliff Ronning was here and Mike Dunham and all these early guys that I connected with and loved rooting for. And Paul Kariya came here eventually. I remember when Paul Kariya was signed by the Predators, I thought it was the coolest thing on the earth, just to have Paul Kariya come in. So just to watch that develop from the ground up here as a kid was really cool. And, my career is taking me a different place, and it's not the same as it used to be in terms of, my enjoyment of sports, just watching as a fan. It's my job now, so it has changed in that regard. But just thinking back to going to games with my grandparents and my parents and just the memories you have from that, all of that I think really factors into it.
Yeah, this could also be a game, too.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I thought of for me. Like, college basketball, still a passion, was allowed to stay up for the first time in the 83 title game. NC State, Houston, incredible game. Lorenzo Charles, Jim Valvano ran around. But 2 days earlier, if you ever get a chance to watch, and I know some people out there saw it, but if you ever get a chance to watch Louisville, Houston in the Final Four in 83 – there's another example of, this is what this sport could be.
Yeah.
Because basically it was just fast break dunking all day. Stuff like that. Sometimes just games that don't even involve teams that you necessarily root for can do that.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, the Bash Brothers, Canseco and McGuire.
Wow.
How about that? That's a good one.
Roid it up, baby.
And the Murph with the Bravos as well. So how about that?
Yeah, Dale
Murph. Oh, man.
That's another thing, too. In the 80s, the Braves were on. Basically, the Cubs and the Braves are on all the time.
You on WGN or TBS? Which way are you going?
And the Braves, for all those years, they had Dale Murphy, Bob Horner. But, they were bad, but all those years. But that he was the guy who was just – so then all of a sudden, of course, obviously they get great in 91, and it's really still on kind of that run as a franchise from then. But, boy, they had a lot of lean years with just him kind of carrying the – but he was a great player, great, great player.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Pete Rose and the Big Red Machine, also Roger Staubach and the Dallas Cowboys. So going a little old school there. I like that.
There we go.
Pete Rose and the Big Red Machine. I would have loved to watch
that. I approve.
Yeah.
We got a lot of answers of – you know, people who Hall of Fame voters may have issues with, but still, you
know, take away from what they did on the field, Joe.
No, it does not.
I've got the DVDs of the 1975 World Series.
Awesome.
All seven games. Yeah.
Wow.
That was the famous Carlton Fisk at Fenway State Fair. Yeah.
But then Joe Morgan got him in Game 7.
Yeah. No, those teams were awesome, and obviously Sparky Anderson.
Yeah.
Big hero of mine. Later.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says Pele was one of the athletes that made me interested in soccer. I like that.
Okay. Yeah, that you know, you go back to that time, and I remember there was a lot of like Pele, maybe he can sort of make it, you know, bring the sport more mainstream. It's taken a long time from then to now, but boy, has that really changed in terms of, you know, this country embracing soccer in the last 10, 15 years.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandon texts in and says, players that got me into sports, believe it or not, was Mark Brunell and Keenan McCardell with the Jags. I loved the Jags when I was a kid. Now he's a big Titans fan and cannot stand the Jags. So a little role reversal from Brandon there. But as a kid, loved him some Jacksonville Jaguars football. Mark Brunell just out there slinging it. All over the place.
Lefty. Not many, you know, not many great lefty QBs, but he had a great run. So now, correct me if I'm wrong then. I mean, he was throwing to Brunell to McCardell on that 14-2 Jags team, right? 1999.
Jimmy Smith.
Huh? Yeah. So was the Titans sweeping them? Was that what flipped you?
Maybe.
That's what I'd like to know.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Daniel texts in and says, hey, Robbie, Sean Kemp and the 90 Seattle Supersonics fueled my love for basketball at a young age. Love the show. Great to hear you every morning. Keep it up.
Thank you, and that's a great call. Sean Kemp was awesome. Sean Kemp was amazing.
The glove.
You know, that was one of the all-time stunners. You don't see it too often in the NBA, but when the Nuggets beat them, I thought they were going to win it all. I think it was 93 or 94. The 8 beats the 1. But I always thought those teams should have won a championship, and obviously they were very good but just ran into really the best Bulls team ever in that 96. Unfortunately, they never got one, but great team to watch. Seattle trying to get basketball back.
They are. Getting hockey coming.
Got the Kraken. The Kraken's coming.
Ryan Porth, how would you answer this question? What were the teams and athletes that got you to love sports?
Well, athletes – the first one that stands out is Ken Griffey Jr. I had Sports Illustrated for Kids growing up, and they had in the middle of the magazine, they had like a poster that you could rip out, and then I used to hang those on the wall, and they always had Griffey in those.
Did you ever play those Ken Griffey Jr. Nintendo 64 games? Freaking awesome.
I did, and then he became an even bigger hero of mine when he was traded to the Reds. And it didn't work out with the Reds. He would have been the home run king if he had stayed healthy. But just his flash in the 90s was one of the athletes that made me love sports. Also, Patrick Waugh was my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Waugh with the Avalanche. Sorry, Joe.
You bring up Patty Roy on this show? All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just the disrespect.
I love me some Patrick Waugh.
Oh, man.
You know what I love about Patrick Waugh? That night that Chris Osgood beat the crap out of him at Sunrise. That was amazing.
Or the night that he pretended like he was the Statue of Liberty and the puck fell out of his glove and into the net.
Yeah.
And like nice game too. 7 of the Western Conference Finals in 01 or 02.
You know what I really liked? Game 7 of, it was 02. Yes.
It was like 7-0.
7-0. Red Wings. Yeah. And, yeah, there was a lot of trepidation that, they might lose to the Avs. No. Touchdown on you, Patty Roy.
Just the jab he gets by calling him Patty Roy.
Hated Patty Roy. Nice. But great player. I didn't hate him as much as Claude Lemieux.
Okay. I can understand.
What about Peter Forsberg?
See, he was – I mean, it was one of those things where you hate that team so much – but how do you hate him?
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, Sakic, too. It's like, I mean, you hated how good they were and how they beat your team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was all pretty much focused on Claude Lemieux and Patty Roy.
So we've got a lot of your texts to get to when we come back. We'll continue this discussion. What teams or athletes made you fall in love with sports? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity for you coming up at 8:45. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee will join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Call Your Shot Friday coming up here in just about 10 minutes or so. So get those called shots in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as well. Porthy, you have a lot of called shots today?
I have more than I did last week.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. All right.
And I had zero last week, yeah. So I have more.
No, we made you have one last week.
I didn't come up with any. You forced me to have one. So last segment, I referenced Patrick Waugh, or as Joe calls him,
Patty Roy.
Just watch the fight between Patrick Waugh and Chris Osgood. Oh, Chris, yeah. I mean, Osgood won the fight, but he didn't kick his butt.
Oh, whatever. Hey, let me tell you something. Go watch what McCarty did to little Claude there.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, almost killed him. It was actually probably not something to celebrate. But but that night,
after Claude, let me almost kill Chris Draper.
Oh yeah. Oh, believe me, I know. That night there was much screaming of in joy at the violence we all saw.
All right, let's go rapid fire on our text line. We've got a lot to get to here, talking about which teams and athletes made you fall in love with sports. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from the Borough texts in, says, I'm originally from Connecticut, so when UConn beat the undefeated Duke team in the national championship game.
That's the first Final Four I covered. That was incredible. Stunning. Stunning. Because that was maybe, yeah. Like, could have been K's best team, honestly. Great call. Man, what a game. Khalid El-Amin. Whew. And Rip Hamilton.
Got another texter that says, grew up in Northwest Indiana, so playing pond hockey, Blackhawk stars Bobby Hull, Stan Mikita.
Yeah, I like it.
Now, that's a Blackhawks fan right there. Not a, hey, I'm jumping on in 2014 because yep. Patrick Kane's playing. That's a true legend.
I
right
love
there.
It. And people are older than me, too. I love that.
Maybe that's the guy who's walking around with the Tony Amani jersey that Robbie goes, you know what? That guy's a
that
true
guy,
Blackhawks
yeah.
fan.
That's Tony Amani right there.
You're a real one. You're a real one.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, Ricky Henderson got me into baseball, but David Justice made me fall in love with the game. I've been a Braves fan ever since.
Nice.
It's a good one.
Yep.
Let's go back to the text line. A huge hockey fan watching Bobby Orr and the Boston Bruins instilled my love. Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr. Yes. I'm liking this.
Matt from Gallatin texts in, World Series Baseball for Nintendo 64 really helped spark my baseball passion. Helped me memorize stats, batting stances, and tweaks in the lineup. So, Mark taking the Robbie Stanley approach, video games factoring in.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people have been talking about this NCAA game. It's like, this is going to help college football because you're going to have more kids, you know, focus on college football because of video game. Hey, if that's what it takes, great.
Mark from Clarksville texts in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Barry Sanders, probably my favorite player. Between Sanders, Steve Young, Randy Moss, and Deion Sanders. Of course, Little Giants was one of my favorites growing up as well, the movie. So that also helps. Also says Steve Yzerman and Sergei Fedorov were what made him like hockey.
Well, those are few of my favorites right there. Absolutely.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This coming from Jay from Hopkinsville. Rhino made me a Cubs fan thanks to WGN. So WGN, once again, all over the place.
1989 yeah. Cubs. Rhino, Jerome Walton as a rookie, Dwight Smith, the Hawk, Andre Dawson, Greg Maddux, awesome team.
Here's Kelton on our text line. I think kind of getting in a shot at me. John Elway was superhuman at times in his career. A helicopter run that was epic. Aaron Rodgers should take notes. Wow.
Oh. Mm. And John Elway, we know who he beat in that Super Bowl. The guy who's like, hey, Deshaun, just, you make too much money. Shut up.
Sometimes old Brett.
Brett Favre.
Sometimes old Brett talks a little too much. Yeah, he talks a little too much sometimes.
Yeah.
Just go on and enjoy your retirement.
After he was the one who changed teams late
I was
in
about
his career.
To say, I mean, come on.
No, everybody who covered the Packers, and I'm sure you probably follow some of these people, were like, gee, that's weird, because this one guy was like, I missed every family event for an entire summer. Why was that? I forget again. What was going on, Brett Favre?
Kept retiring and unretiring all the time? Ugh.
God. Anyway.
Let's go back to the text
line. We can talk about athletes we hate, too.
Brett Favre on your list?
Oh, yeah.
Back to the text line.
Always.
By WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason in Clarksville text in, I watched the Braves as a teenager and loved Chipper Jones. Didn't hurt they had three Hall of Fame pitchers, too. Lots of, I mean, the,
oh, yeah.
the 90s Braves, early 2000s Braves. That's a lot.
Should have won more. Should have won more championships, but you know what? Consistently excellent, and there's something to be said for that.
See, a lot of people have that era with one team where they were dominant,
yeah.
like the '90s Braves, or. But like for me as a sports fan, my teams have never had like that era of, you know, multiple Hall of Famers on the same team. So it's like, you know, cherry picking certain individuals. Like a Barry Larkin with the Reds, or Ken Griffey yeah. Jr., or like the Avalanche, growing up in Cincinnati, we didn't have an NHL team. So I just resorted to the Avalanche.
That's sad. It's a sad story.
Well, you know what? They were better than the 90s Red Wings.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Fourth just throwing fire in here.
Are you going to count cups?
If you're going to do that crap, time. I mean... Look at
I
him.
Mean, come on.
Talking about Brady's rings.
Oh, no, well, I'm talking teams. I'm talking teams.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Glenn from the borough text in. Football, it was Larry Zonka. NBA, Dr. J. And baseball, Tom Seaver.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good list.
So that makes me think of, like, if you had a triumvirate, because someone mentioned Steve Yzerman. Steve Yzerman would be in mine with Isaiah Thomas and probably Lou Whitaker. Okay. That would be my triumvirate as a kid.
Okay. So we're going football, hockey, baseball?
Well, whatever.
Or whatever.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, I left out Billy Sims. He'd be right there.
Well, my three would be Paul Kariya in the NHL. Dwayne Wade for sure in the NBA. Loving some Dwayne Wade. That's what really got me into the NBA. Because, like, you know, I was six when Michael Jordan was doing his thing. So I don't really remember watching Michael Jordan, which is part of the reason The Last Dance was so cool during the first part of quarantine. Is that was like the first time I got, oh, Michael Jordan, look at that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that part. So I would go Dwayne Wade, Paul Kariya. Football-wise, probably Eddie George. What about you, Porth?
Griffey, Patty Roy. I mean, Barry Larkin. Barry Larkin has to be in there because he was a king in Cincinnati when I was growing up. And he made me love the Reds.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by Wilson County. Yeah, they're not very good now. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David from Hendersonville text in, watching Culpepper throw bombs to Randy Moss in 98 made me a dedicated Vikings fan, as hard as that is now.
That was fun to watch.
That was fun.
And there's another, you know, we talk about Dan Fouts and the Chargers, and 81 they should have won. I mean, the 98 Vikings.
Oh, man.
You know, and that we got robbed.
Was that the Falcons year where they got to the Super Bowl?
Oh, yes.
The Dirty Birds?
Yeah. And that's great, and it was a nice story. But that's one of those years we got robbed of what would have been an epic Super Bowl. And that's all anybody wanted to see that year was Broncos-Vikings. It would have been amazing. And Gary Anderson.
I wonder, you have the 81 Chargers. He brings up the 98 Vikings. That's another conversation for another day of what team was the most appointment viewing for you. Like, for me, was probably the Warriors.
Yeah.
With the Splash Brothers, where every time they were on TV, it was like, all right, got to watch these guys.
Yeah. Well, my middle child still, because of them, I mean, he tapes every Warriors game and they're not the same team, but yeah, that's a great one right there. I would submit once the Russian Five got going
with the wings,
you know, and obviously they had those disappointments before they won a cup, but every night it's just stuff that you don't see in hockey. Like the stuff those guys did. Whew.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch. We had a lot of texts we weren't able to get to. Thanks for the participation on the text line. We will bring this topic back up because had a lot of fun with that. But when we come back, it's that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Super Bowl weekend. The Nashville Predators back in action tonight. You can take it any direction you want to take it. Take your shot. Bold predictions coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. It's that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Take it to the Super Bowl. The Preds playing again tonight. Whatever direction you want to take it, we welcome your text at 615-737-1025. So, Joe, do we need to do a quick recap from last week, Call Your Shot Friday?
Of course we do, okay. Because we need to humble ourselves weekly. All right. Well, look, as Porth said, we made him call a shot, and it's a long-term shot. So you got nothing wrong. You're coming in off a no L's for you, which is
the best.
Let's
week
be
I've
honest;
had.
It was a really embarrassing performance from Ryan Porth
last week. Was the best
brought
week
nothing
I've
to the
had
table.
With Call Your Shot Friday.
Yeah. So you got the Dolphins and Deshaun. That's what you've got. We all had to take a shot there. So that's on the table, and actually, I think you got a real chance to be right. So that's your shot still out there. Robbie, you had Vols beating Kansas by six or more. Yes.
Nailed it.
Springer key in the game. I would say he was. So nice job there. You had Deshane, two goals in two games versus the Lightning.
Didn't work.
You had Matt Stafford going to Indy.
Didn't work.
And you got the Saints for Deshaun. So, you know, that's a possibility, of course. What did I do? I mean, did I just say they'll win? That's kind of a weak called shot, but I was right. The Vols would beat Kansas, and I got it right. And really, that was my only short-term shot. I got Belmont getting its highest NCAA seed ever, which would need to be a 10.
They look very good.
They do look very good. They rolled again last night, a 19-1. I've got Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Michigan State all missing the NCAA tournament. Look great with Kentucky, Michigan State, and pretty good with Duke. I don't know about UNC, but I think I've got a chance there. And then I've got the Niners for Watson. So
three of us.
We've got our Watson.
Different places.
Yep.
For Deshaun Watson. So with that in mind, it's time for this edition of Call Your Shot Friday. Ryan Porth, would you like to lead us off this week?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I've got no shots this week. No, I'm kidding.
I was about to say.
No way I believe that.
All right. Number one shot for Sunday's big game. Tom Brady will throw an interception in the final 2 minutes on a potential tying or winning drive, and it seals the win for the Chiefs.
Okay. All right. So Brady, he's crucial turnover.
Going for number seven, going for Joe's, you know.
Top quarterback list.
Title for the GOAT, and he throws a pick.
Mm.
So that is
comes
shot number one. Shot number two, Shaq Barrett gets his last sack in a Bucs uniform before he signs with the Titans this offseason.
Ooh. Okay, there's a shot.
Shaq Barrett going to the Titans. All right.
So he gets a sack on Mahomes and then signs with the Titans.
All right.
With the national anthem, Eric Church and Jasmine Sullivan apparently are teaming up on this national anthem.
Sure.
It will go over 2 minutes.
Okay.
The over-under is a minute and 59 seconds. It will go over 2 minutes. I love me some Chief, some Eric Church, but he will slow dance this thing.
Oh, he's gonna drag it out.
It is going over 2 minutes.
Okay, I like that one. That's a good one.
All right, switching to hockey. Philip Forsberg has another multi-point night tonight.
Okay,
maybe not five.
Yeah, five is a pretty high bar.
I mean, that's asking a little much, but one goal, one assist tonight for the Preds. And then I'm going to call my shot that I got a called shot wrong last month, saying that Chicago was going to be the worst team in the NHL. They are not going to be the worst team in the NHL this year because the Ottawa Senators, despite beating Montreal last night, are by far the worst team in the NHL, and it's not even close.
Big win for the Sens last night.
I was not a fan of that.
not swayed by that big win. They were all over Carey Price last night.
Very well done, Ryan Porth. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week.
All right. Okay, so we'll go short term first. I got Patty Mahomes throwing four touchdown passes.
Woo!
Sunday. One of them will be underhanded.
Ooh,
he will bowling ball a touchdown pass.
I like that.
So underhanded and not left-handed.
Well, it could be left-handed. I mean, he could do lefty underhanded. He could go behind his back. You never know. But I'm just saying it will be an underhanded motion.
I like that.
Okay? All right.
Tom Brady, 2 picks.
Wow.
I don't hate Brady. I'm just saying he's going to throw 2 picks. He threw 3.5 last week.
I hear
you. Okay.
And he's still in the Super Bowl.
He is in the Super Bowl. The GOAT. They got nothing else on that team, just the GOAT. I got Pecorine starting for the Preds tonight, getting a win, and flip-flopping, at least for a while, the goalie situation for the Preds. Right now it's 7-3 Saros in starts. Now Pekka has had to come in twice.
Yep.
I think tonight he gets the start. He plays great again and he switches it up. At least evens it up.
Okay.
When it hasn't been to date.
I feel like the eye test for Pekka has been a lot better than Saros this year. That's just me.
I mean, they're both, sub 900 in save percent, but yeah. I mean, he lately for sure. All right, two longer terms. Colts will get Sam Darnold. That will be their quarterback for the future, Sam Darnold. And Terry McCormick had an interesting report yesterday that Clowney would not
Joe's
mind.
Clowney.
Joe's Clowney would not mind being the Titans Clowney for more. So I'm going to just call my shot on this because you laughed, and I bet you there was laughter in a lot of places, a lot of buildings in this town at that thought. Jadeveon Clowney will not be back with – I know this is not crazy, but I'm just saying. Jadeveon Clowney will not be back with the Titans next year. If they could get him at a ridiculously low rate, maybe, but someone out there will pay him more than they'd be willing to pay him.
Okay.
So Clowney not with the Titans in 21.
All right, my short-term shots, I say Matt Duchene keeps it going from last night for the Predators. He scores again tonight in the game for Nashville. So 2 games in a row, it's been a struggle for him to finish. I think 2 games in a row, Matt Duchene finds the back of the net. He scores again tonight against Florida. As far as the Super Bowl is concerned, I say Mike Evans finishes with the most receiving yards in the game. So you've got Travis Kelce, you've got Tyreek Hill. Mike Evans will have more yards receiving than anyone in the Super Bowl.
I like that
shot. Taking that shot. And then a long-term shot regarding the Tennessee Titans. Their first-round draft pick, Gregory Rousseau, will be their first-round pick in the draft this year. So three shots there for me going really long-term on that front. But I don't really take a whole lot of long-term ones. I figured I'd give it a shot.
We got to remember that, see? What happens here
is... You've written it down.
Yeah, but sometimes we forget, like, the long-term shot. So let's remember, Gregory Rousseau, Robbie, for the draft.
Joe, you're the one who's keeping track of this.
And
luckily that, Gregory Rousseau does not have a T in it, so you were able to type it in.
Yeah, you were able to type that, too.
Oh, so that's good. Flawlessly.
Well, by the way, have you guys seen it? So I have this, my wife gave me, her extra keyboard, and I've kind of figured out, you can put it on top of the other one, and it's like it's my keyboard.
The genius here.
Why did you guys not tell me this days ago? Why did you guys not tell me?
When your external keyboard was like on the other side of the studio desk, and you're like, T.
Yeah. So it was like I was like a keyboard player in a rock band, like do, and then I'll T over to the side,
All right, let's do a little rapid fire here on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb text in, called shot. Preds play a full 60 minutes and get their first shutout of the season tonight, 3-0 for the Predators against the Panthers.
That's after watching the penalty kill again last night and the power play for Florida, that's a shot. That's a shot.
Ron texts in and says, the called shot is Travis Kelce will get shut down and only have 65 yards and no touchdowns in the Super Bowl. That'd be a heck of a day for the Bucs defense if they're able to do that.
I'll be very impressed.
Steve from the Borough texts in and says, long-term called shot, Henry going for 2,000 again next season. And short-term, the Preds win again tonight against Florida. So another 2,000-yard season coming up for Derrick Henry next year.
That'd be amazing. No one's ever done that, and no one's ever had two at all, let alone back-to-back.
Wes texts in to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This will be the last Super Bowl Tom Brady ever plays in. The torch will officially be passed to Patrick Mahomes. So this is it. Now, Brady's not getting back there with the Bucs next year.
Yeah.
According to Wes.
Well, that's because Matthew Stafford's leading the Rams all the way next year.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark texts in, my called shots this week are for you, Joe. The Tampa Bay Bucs will win the Super Bowl, picking off Mahomes twice, getting 4-plus sacks. Brady will throw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, including the game-winning drive, and Skip Bayless will have a field day on Monday, and Joe will finally admit that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time.
Wait, are we? What's the Skip Bayless thing? He's going to have a field day.
Yeah, he's not calling you Skip Bayless. He's just saying it'll be a thing.
Yeah, there's somebody else on this station who already idolizes Skip Bayless. Okay.
So Mark throwing it right at you, saying you're going to have no choice on Monday morning but to call him the greatest quarterback of all time.
If those things happen, I promise I will.
One final called shot on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texted and says, Chiefs win by 10 or more. Travis Kelce, 2 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 2 touchdowns. Both players over 125 yards, and the Preds win tonight with a game-winning goal from Victor Arvidsson. Okay. That came from Josh.
I swear, like, on our called shots, and this is us included, like, does anyone ever call a shot? Like, the Preds are going to stink it up and give up 4 power play goals. Like, no.
Well,
you know?
Is that a called shot right now? With the penalty kill going the way it's going?
Well, I mean, like, what if the Preds hadn't come back last night? This might have been the first one.
Yeah.
Like, if the Preds hadn't come back and they're 4-6 right now after losing that game, then we might actually have some shots. Like, the Preds are going to get smoked tonight.
Yeah.
But that's a very homery call shots on the Preds.
That's the type of victory that it was last night for the Preds. We'll see if they can build on it tonight against Florida. When we come back, we'll be joined by new Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.